This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharuddin. You're tuned in to the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Climbers rejoice. There's a new player in town that's ready to sit your thirst for action. It's called BizPark, and apart from bouldering facilities, the space also offers ninja courses, hanging nets for you to relax on, and even a cafe if you just wish to chill around the area. For the founders, combining multiple elements and facilities is their way of creating and inculcating that active lifestyle for city dwellers. To find out more about their vision and the climbing scene here in KL, I went to BizPark, located in the iconic Sungai Wang Plaza, to speak to one of its founders, Thibaut Paquin.
I'm Thibaut Paquin, French guy living in KL, and I'm one of the shareholders of BizPark and Camp 5 Jumpa in Sungai Wang.
Can you describe what is BizPark and why do you choose the name Biz?
Sure. So BizPark is our attempt to bridge adventure sports and active entertainment. So it's an indoor activity park. I think that's the easiest way to describe it, on top of Sungai Wang on level 3. And Beast was a sort of a long process of coming up with the name. We had different names before, but we chose Beast when we realized that we wanted to create a space for a community that was sort of health conscious, that wanted to develop skills and also experience adventure. And so we thought that Beast was a cool name to name that community. So it's sort of started with that, and then we developed it into our own identity, and we developed our own Beast, and then it became really fun and playful, and it kind of transpires in the design and hopefully the experience when people come to the park.
Yeah, like you said, the name, it's not just a name, right? Beast. It permeates throughout the concept of the space, right? Maybe you can explain to me how you try to, I guess, incorporate the identity of that beast within the concept of the space itself. Because I think there are also like avatars or cartoon characters that are represented by this beast concept, right?
Yeah, so the concept of the beast is when you step into the park, you become a different version of yourself. And so what we did is we, with our designer, picked 5 sort of characters from Malaysia. So we sort of had a foodie boy, and we had a yoga girl. She goes to the office, and so they sort of represent the Malaysian people, and then they turn into really cool beasts. So the foodie boy becomes this sort of bat, and that's very cute, and the yoga girl is a yeti. So that's the different version of you, basically. And so all of our graphics have those different elements. So the beast before and after, we play with that a lot. And obviously it's, you know, very colorful and fun for kids or everyone, I guess. That was also really easy to turn into merchandise, because we have all these really cool avatars and very colorful. So yeah, when you step into the space, I think you experience that, and hopefully you want to channel your inner beast as well.
Yeah, and you also explained to me earlier that these avatars, or the concept itself, is very Malaysian, but maybe not in a conventional sense, right? So maybe you can help elaborate, what do you mean by this concept being Malaysian?
Yeah, I mean, it is Malaysian in an international way. I know it sounds a bit weird, but we believe that there's some really cool stuff in Malaysia that deserves to be shown. And because it's a tourist place, we wanted tourists, and especially young tourists, to see what Malaysia is capable of in terms of design and experience in the venue. I think in general, you won't find a similar venue anywhere else in the world. So we worked with Malaysian people. Everything was done by Malaysian people, including, you know, the graphics and the art installation by Jun Ong, to show to the world and to Malaysians as well, you know, there's some really cool stuff happening here. And when we put them together, it creates a really nice space that people feel comfortable and feel at home in a new Malaysia. That's our version of a new Malaysia, which kind of interestingly sits inside an older Malaysia, which is Songhe Wong. So you get both sides of the story, and people have been receiving it really well so far. They think it's really cool to have us, you know, on top of Songhe Wong.
That's another aspect that I think is quite interesting as well, choosing Sungai Wang as a location. Sungai Wang is, of course, an old mall, but an iconic mall. So why did you choose Sungai Wang?
We were approached by the owners of that portion of Songhe Wong that was just renovated. That's called Jumpa, and the owners of Jumpa are Capital Land, which is a very large mall owner and developer in Asia or maybe the world. And they saw what we did with Camp 5, and they liked it, and they challenged us to do something a bit different, to target a different audience with tourists and families in this location of Bukit Bintang, and to give Songhe Wong, you know, something new. So we studied and realized that, I'm sure your listeners would know, Songhe Wong used to be a hangout place, a big one back in the days. There were roller skating and ice skating or whatnot. And so we got really inspired to create a new version of a hangout place. So what a millennial would want today is what we tried to deliver in that space. And so that kind of gave Songhe Wong, you know, a new twist, but still meeting the same needs of, you know, a place to hang out and catch up with friends.
And I think to a certain extent, this part also plays off that image of Songhe Wong as well, right? At least in trying to bridge between the old and the new.
Yeah, exactly. I think we like that sort of contrast, we like that comparison, and we would later on we plan on playing with this a little bit more and organize parties in the space reminiscent of the parties that used to happen in the ice skating ring, for example, or the roller skating ring. I can't remember, but I've seen some really cool pictures. So that's something that we'd like to do, and bridging generations as well. So, I mean, the young ones wouldn't really know what Songhe Wong used to be. They know probably what it is, but the older one would remind them of what it used to be. So that sort of cross-generation thing is quite interesting as well.
Okay, let's talk about the facilities that you have here and what separates you from your competitors. You don't just offer a specific facility, right? You have multiple facilities here, right? Yeah, so maybe you can explain to me what do you have here?
Yeah, so Beast Park includes a proper Camp 5 climbing gym, which is our parent company. And there's four of them in KL now. But in addition to that, we have a number of attractions that are more activity-based. So we have a ninja course, and we have another kids ninja course. We have some e-walls, which are more for kids with LED lighting, a fun cave, and a couple of private rooms. So we're trying to include more activities than just climbing, and to make it a place where people can choose what they want to do. So it's either we have quite a good offering for kids, so families can come and the kids can play. We also have a great cafe that's operated by Artisan Roast from TTDI. So that's also a place that you can just hang out if you want to. And so we didn't want to compete with a trampoline park, for example, or another competitor would be Super Park, for example. So we looked at their model and we tried to do something different, a bit more lifestyle, a bit more flexible as well. So we don't really have a gate. You can go into the space, explore, have a coffee without having to pay the entrance fee. So these are all the things that we tried to make different to meet the requirements of the crowd that we have here in Songyeowang, made of tourists. I mean, everyone, really. It's a very wide audience. And also the mall wanted something very lifestyle, which we delivered.
How do you straddle between the demographic of young kids and adults? Because I think some activities are more adult-oriented, whereas some activities are more targeted to kids, right? So how do you balance the two?
Yeah, so it's a good question. The space, although visually very, it looks like one big park, has different areas, and the climbing gym area is physically separated from the rest, so to ensure that climbers can have their own privacy and the space they need to do what they do. And then the other activities, more kids-oriented, are separate. So that allows us to control traffic and to make sure that, you know, everyone have their own space. We also see the venue changing different time of the day. So after 6 p.m., our kids' programs stop, which allows us to bring more of the, either the people looking for sports or exercise, skills development, and obviously the climbers, which is also a very big focus for us here.
That was Thibaut Paikwin, one of the founders of BeSpark, KL's latest indoor activity park located in Sungai Wang Plaza. We're going for a short break. Stay tuned. I'm Hanif Baharudin and you're listening to I Love KL on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. I'm Hanif Baharudin and I'm joined this week by Thibaut Paikwin. He's one of the founders of BeSpark, an indoor activity park located in Sungai Wang Plaza. We spent the first part looking at what separates BeSpark from other indoor activity parks here in KL. We also learn about why they adopted the name Bees and how the concept of that name permeates throughout the park. In the second part, we're going to focus more on the climbing scene here in KL. Thibaut helps us paint that picture.
KL is good. I think the One Utama venue of Camp 5, which opened more than 12 years ago, has been good at developing sort of base of climbers. In general, climbing is growing everywhere in the world, so not just in Malaysia. So we see even more growth coming. It's also based on availability. So not having a climbing venue in the city center, we realized that, you know, a lot of people would not climb on a regular basis because there was no facility for them. So that's one of the reasons why we wanted to have one in Songyeowang. But it's certainly a growing activity, and it's probably here to stay as well, because people who do climbing are developing skills and they are getting more into it, more addicted as they continue. So it's not a fad. Our role and Camp 5's role is to keep developing and also introducing climbing to a new audience, which is something that this venue will allow us to do because of our exposure to large audience in the city center.
So is BeSpark, and maybe to some extent climbing itself, a beginner-friendly activity? Or is it like a social activity that you can just try for like a one-off occasion and just drop? Or if you're committed to it, you need to at least give it more time?
No, it's very beginner friendly. We run tri climbing classes, which is for 1 hour. You get a coach, and we provide the equipment, and we show you the basics, and so anyone can do it. And then you either get the virus and you keep doing it, and you take either a private coach or a basic wall course, and then you keep going with your friends, or you just do it once in a while and don't really develop your skills so much, but still enjoy the social aspect of it and being, out in a cool venue. But it is certainly very social. It's one of the most social sports activities, because one thing, when you're doing top rope, you have someone belaying you. So it's always the two of you, whether it's already a friend or it's a new friend or someone, you've just met. And when you're also bouldering, for example, which is the walls where you're not wearing a harness because they're only maximum 4 meter high, then we call them problems, and you're solving those problems and you're doing it with other people. So that social aspect we see is a main reason why people go back to climbing, because they actually go back with their friends. So they have a climbing date, Saturday, let's all go to Wan Wu Tama or to Sung and Wang to climb together.
Okay, so to a certain extent, climbing, like you said, is a social activity. But do people do it for the thrill or the adrenaline rush or to socialize, or is it a fitness activity as well? Do people see it as one of the ways to get healthy?
To some extent, but it's not the main driver. Usually people who come to our climbing gyms have other sports that they practice, and so climbing is just one of them, and they do that as a complement. So, and obviously they are already healthy, and I don't deny that the climbing is a very healthy activity, but that's probably not the main goal. The main goal is more the social aspect and the skills development aspect, which is very core in the experience of climbing. The thrilling part of it comes in the beginning. Obviously, we have a lot of first timer. They want to try because of a bit of adventure, something they've never done, and it looks cool. And so it might be a driver at the beginning, but once you get a little bit more experienced, the driver is really the skills development and the social aspect.
And also, BizPark caters to both casual visitors and also the enthusiasts, right?
Yeah, very much so. That was really part of the brief at the beginning. We wanted a space where everyone felt welcome, whether you're just, a beginner and you think it's cool and you like the lifestyle of it, and so you participate in your own way, or you're like a super experienced climber and we have like really cool routes here that, people can try and keep developing their skills. So we don't want to be this sort of exclusive club like maybe a gym could be. It's really a venue where you just come, turn on your beast mode and join other people in their own different beast modes. We're all different, we accept that, we want that flexibility, we want that diversity. And yes, you have kids running around and you have other people doing like super hardcore climbing routes, but that's life, that's what we want, that variety of experience of people in the same place.
And the community themselves, they're quite welcoming of beginners and, newcomers. Are they intimidating?
No, I think in general, the climbing community, and even to a wider extent, the adventure sports or active entertainment community that you find, for example, with Spartan and all these that are quite popular in Malaysia, they are very welcoming communities because they all started they all got into it somehow. They were all beginners, and they, you know, welcome new people to join their practice. And it's okay to share the wall in our case. So yeah, you have better people and you have beginners, but it's fine. We, you know, we all share the wall and we all have a good time together.
Now, what do visitors have to think of and prepare for before coming to the space? I understand that, yes, it's beginner friendly, but you can't just walk in without expecting anything, right? So there must be some form of preparation that you have to think of, at least to manage your own expectation. So what are the things that they have to think about before they want to embark on this climbing journey?
Well, think about what beast you want to be. And just on a practical matter, you have to wear for all the activities closed toe shoes. So we do have a lot of people coming with slippers that doesn't work on a ninja course, for example. So that's just one thing to allow for. But we do have lockers, we have showers, we have all sorts of facilities for people to change. And then for climbing, we rent all of the equipment for beginners. So that's not a problem. But the most important is your mindset to make sure that, yeah, you're going to blend in and take your beast mode to the good level.
I can imagine, yeah, mental preparation is also key, right? Because let's be honest, I think it's going to be quite frustrating for beginners, especially if you don't have the experience and also the physical strength to climb, right? So is that something that they have to be prepared for? The possibility of being slightly frustrated, that feeling?
I haven't seen much frustration. I think it's the excitement takes more of the wall, because it's very quickly people can actually, they realize they can go up the wall, and our programs are designed so that people feel very comfortable. So not much frustration, a lot of excitement. And what we've done as well, in addition to the walls and the ninja courts, for example, we have this bespoke hanging net structure, which we call the beast net, and that's really designed for anyone to come and play, to experience sitting above the void. And then we have a couple of challenges in there, which is really cool, but really accessible for anyone. So we designed that for anyone to come and experience a bit of adventure and maybe grab a cup of coffee. So tourists, for example, we want them to experience the beast net. It's a really cool structure. So we had that in mind so that you can choose your level of difficulty or choose your level of how much you want to, how much exercise you want to do, or how much into the adventure you want to get.
And what kind of programs do you have in store to keep people coming back, especially for the newcomers who just want to give it a try, right?
Yeah, so on the climbing part, because we've done it for many years, so we have all sorts of programs to take you to higher level, up to first being able to climb on your own with your buddies, and then good to go on the lead walls, which are the more experienced area. Our lead wall here is 15 meter high. So that's all kind of inside the Camp 5 programs already that we apply from other gyms. We are working on similar programs for the ninja course, so you can take on programs to develop your skills and then possibly compete. So we're working with some of the top ninja warriors in Malaysia to do that. And for kids and families, we also are going to be developing memberships so that kids can come back to all of the different areas that we have for them, and they can possibly also develop some skills. We call it Beast Junior, the offering for kids. We see this as a really cool place for families to go on a regular basis on weekends or you know, public holidays or after school, to let the kids play, get sweaty, get active, get all of that energy out, and in a very positive way.
It is a family-friendly activity, right?
Yeah, very, very much family friendly. That was the main focus with Beast Park, that everyone feels welcome from 3 years old all the way to as long as you're active.
Do you mind sharing the price rate for all the activities offered here?
Sure. So we quite affordable. Our starting price for the BeastNet is 15 ringgit, so that gives you access to that structure. You could play as long as you want. Then we have the ninja course is 29 ringgit. The climbing day pass is 36 ringgit if you're already a member. Membership is free. You just have to register. And if you climb for the first time, we have a try climbing, which is 55 ringgit for 1 hour with the equipment included. And then finally, for kids, we have all access for all of the different kids' activities. On weekdays is 39 ringgit for all day, and then weekends is 49 ringgit.
Lastly, I am going to allow you to pitch the activity of climbing to people who are curious to try it. What can they look forward to? What can they expect? And what will they get from it?
Sure. So climbing is something that you have to experience. It's a challenge with yourself. It's a challenge with the wall, but it's extremely rewarding. It's something where you develop skills, you solve problems, and you do it in a social way. So I strongly encourage you to try and see how you feel after this. Most of the time, people have a great sense of achievement and reward after their try climbing, and the desire to try again. Sometimes they try again very soon. Sometimes it takes a bit of time before they try again. But that feeling is something that you have to experience and see if you like it and if you want to make it part of your life. And climbing doesn't have to be your main sport. It's something that you can do in addition to what you're already doing, and it's a great thing to do with friends. It's very social. So I think for a lot of people, it ticks the boxes of something to do on the weekend or after work.
Okay, and if people want to find out more about Beast Park, where can they go to?
The best is to go on Instagram. We're at Beast Park Malaysia. We also have a website, beastpark.my.
You've been tuning in to I Love KL, and this week we explored the climbing scene here in the capital city with Thibaut Paquin, one of the founders of Beast Park, KL's latest indoor activity park located in Sungai Wang Plaza. Before we go, here's a new segment that we're calling Word of Mouth. Basically, it's a segment that looks at KL's hidden gems from the perspective of various contributors. This week, Elizabeth Cardosa, former president of Badan Warisan Malaysia, is going to share some stories about Sinsa Sia Temple located in Petaling Street.
Maybe we want to start with looking at the Sinsa Sia Temple, the temple in which is sort of the KL City Temple. And it is, in a way, hidden. But it is well known, you know, to the population that uses it, from a wider, not just people who are the city folk, yeah, but bounded on one side by Jalan Tun HS Lee, very near Central Market, and behind what people refer to as sort of the Bangkok Bank Triangle. Even I think the older people in KL will still sort of, even younger people will kind of remember the triangle, you know, the historic triangle where Bangkok Bank is located. And this temple is attributed to have been established by Yap Aloy, who was a Hakka. I mean, he was the third Kapitan China, and he gave the land and built this temple, and it's still there. And it is the oldest extent religious, you know, structure, and it is for the city. It was actually, while it was built, and there's a history to its building, which I won't go into, and you should actually talk to the trustees about that, you know, because they are doing things. What I have this idea that it probably houses the oldest permanent brick structure. Brick, it could be not baked brick, it could be sun-dried brick, for example, structure in this city, because its origins go back to the 1860s, the mid-1860s. And when it was originally built, it would have been built as a smaller, probably a wood structure, a timber structure, but it was quickly converted into a more permanent structure because by the 1880s, KL had experienced lots of flood, lots of, you know, fires, and there were new building bylaws in. And while you can't go there and excavate, the original temple structure is still there where the altars are. And I like to think that, you know, behind the tiles, you know, if one could actually excavate, it would actually be really interesting to see, you know, is that the earliest still extant building? Because there are obviously ruins or, you know, things which are underground, like the foundations of buildings which are still around from the 1880s. But I don't know that you see them, you know, that you can actually see them, you know, and I always like to speculate that I wonder if that's the oldest extant part of the built heritage of Kuala Lumpur.
That's all we have for this episode of I Love KL. If you miss any part of the show, you can check out the podcast at bfm.my/ilovekl, our app, which you can find via Google Play and the App Store, and also Spotify. Don't forget to also follow the station on Twitter at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharudin, and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Join us again next week, only on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.